All right, I do have a message this morning I want to give to you today. I feel it is from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we can go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 3, Philippians 3, 1 through 3. Amen. Sister Juanita, thank you for this morning. I actually reposted that yesterday. I liked that so much. I laughed and laughed. I'm going to share that in a moment. And wow, that is so fitting. So, yeah. So I'll read this to you before we read our scripture, and this is a post off of Facebook, and it says, "I'm trying to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles." I guess you could say social media in general. All right. "Therefore, every day I walk down the street and tell passersby what I have eaten, how I feel at that very moment, what I've done the night before, and what I will do later, and with whom. I give them pictures of my family, my dog, and of me gardening." Could you see that? Hey. pictures of me taking things apart in my garage, watering the lawn, standing in front of landmarks, driving around town, having lunch, and doing what anybody and everybody does every day. I also listen to their conversations and give them a thumbs up. Let them know I like them. And it works just like Facebook. I already have 4 people following me. 2 police officers, a private investigator, and a psychiatrist. I thought that was cute. Praise God. Social media is a wonderful tool if that's what it's used for. You know, it's a wonderful tool, but it can take some people where they become antisocial, you know? You know, so that was cute. Thank you, Sister Winnie. That was very cute. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." So Paul said, I've told you this before. I've wrote this before. I've told you this before. But I'm going to tell you again. Beware of dogs. Tell your neighbor, beware of dogs. Then he says, "Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concession, for we are not, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and worship in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I ask you, Lord, to bless it. And everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. My subtitle is, "Who Let the Dogs Out?" I know somebody's already thinking it, so. I want to say this, and this lesson this morning, this message this morning, is based upon something I read in Isaiah 54. I'd like to go there before I go into the total message. Isaiah 54, verses 2 through 3, and this really goes with what I feel God is endeavoring to do. But while you're turning there, I would like to cover the next 2 things it says beware of. It says beware of evil workers. All right, there are some people that come into the church that they act like they want to be a part of the church, but they're really evil workers. All right? And beware of the concession. That was a word I know most of you probably didn't know what that meant. But what that is there was a group of people in those times they called zealots that were so adamant about the circumcision or the outward doing of holiness, and very much not very adamant about inward holiness. And so then the next verse says, "We are of the circumcision, but we worship God in spirit." And it goes on, "We worship God in spirit and truth." So he said, beware of those who all they worry about is getting everything on the outside fixed. Worried about how you look, and do you look good enough, or are you good enough, or are you... He said, beware of that kind of person. So those are 2 things. But I want to focus on the dogs this morning because I really feel like God showed me something with this. But Isaiah 54, verse number 2 says, you got it for me, brother? "Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes." Verse 3, "For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." This prophecy is prophesying to the Rock Church. I read this several years ago that we were going to have to enlarge our place of habitation. And God has done that. We have a much better facility, much bigger facility. But even in this sanctuary, we are tight before the kids leave. But God spoke to me and said, he was going to add to the church and we're going to grow. And we believe that. How many believe this church is growing and it's going to continue to grow? I believe that. There's going to be great things. And, you know, even the next sanctuary and the one beyond that, it's beyond our imagination. The Bible says God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. So I really believe that God has great plans for his church in this last day for those that are willing to have the right spirit and willing to go forward. Now, with that said, now I don't want to be negative. This message does not intend to be negative. There are spirits that will try to come into the church and get on some of us. All right? And then there are also people that are going to come in that have these spirits on them or attitudes. You with me? And these are attitudes of dogs. And I've seen it come on me sometimes, and I've had to go and pray over it and say, you know what? I don't need that kind of attitude. I don't need that kind of spirit. And if you're truly honest and you truly want to grow with God, you will be opened up to say, you know what? This could happen to me. When I'm preaching about these things, it's not so you can sit there and say, well, I know who he's talking about. No, it's so you can protect yourself from allowing these attitudes to get on you. Also, to protect your family from fellowship with people that have that kind of attitude. You mean there's people in church I got to be careful with? You better believe it. Amen. We got to have a right attitude and the right spirit as we go along with God. As the church grows, the devil's going to try to come in and plant seeds in our hearts of bad spirits, bad attitudes. And we've got to guard ourselves, diligently guard our hearts, because out of it flows all the issues of life. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. So I want to talk about beware of the dogs. And I don't, we say, who let the dogs out? Well, I don't want to have to say that. Who let the dogs out? So if I come here one day and say, who let the dogs out? You know I'm referring to this message. I wonder why some of y'all got that spirit. You with me? So I want to start off this morning. I want to talk about poodle dogs. That's right. I've seen a lot of poodle dogs in the church. Somebody say amen. He's like, I'm not sure why I'm saying amen yet. I don't know if I need to. Yeah, that's right. I've seen it. You ever seen a poodle dog? That's right, all with their hair all trimmed and proper. Genesis chapter 49, verses 3 through 4, describes the Reubenites, or Reuben. Reuben was a poodle dog. Genesis 49, 3 says, how excellent you are in power. How excellent it goes in your stature. You've got it all figured out. You're prim, proper. You got it all figured out. But unstable as water you are. Does anybody know one of the most unstable dogs is a poodle? It's the truth. Everybody loves poodles, but they're unstable. They will bite you, or they will run away. You can't hardly predict what a poodle's going to do. But the poodle dog spirit. Now somebody said, I didn't know I was coming to church on Sunday morning to hear a preacher preach about dogs. I wish she could just preach about the epitome of the Latin word or something. I don't know. You know what? I'm not that smart. And there's words I know you probably never understand, but I don't understand them either, so let's not even talk about them. I've been to churches, man, and I've been to some churches that even I fellowship with, and I've gone in there, and they've gone up there and they're preached, and I'm like, I done left. The body's here, but the mind has left the building. They're up there talking so deep. I don't want to ever talk so deep you folks don't understand me. That's why I like to talk about food. Because we all understand food. Hallelujah. And this just came to me about dogs. And there's the spirits of dogs that we see. And I like dogs. How many like dogs? I'm not saying I don't like. I love dogs. I can't stand cats. Amen. And maybe you love cats. God will forgive you. Cats are not pets. Just get this straight. You are their pet. A pet is excited to see you all the time. A pet wants you to pet it all the time. Cats, you start petting them, and then when they're done, they're done. What the world devil got in you? But I like them. There's a... Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Chinese people have a good thing for cats. That wasn't in my notes, Doug. Y'all can't hold that against me. I ain't never come back, church. No. Yeah, you will, because you don't know what I'll say next. So, you know, beware of dogs. And so I love dogs, poodle dogs. These primpy, proper Christians that got it all figured out. Now, I'm not saying you ought to give God the best you can. I love dressing up. I love it. But I'm so sick of these professional Christians and professional churches that all it is nothing but a show. Come on. And everybody's wondering what everybody else is wearing, what they're driving, who they're, you know, we don't need that spirit in the church. I said, we don't need the poodle dog spirit in the church. Somebody said, I rebuke that devil poodle dog spirit out of you. We don't want it. We don't want it. You know, I've gone to conferences and stuff, and I just didn't fill in. I've gone to these meetings and stuff because I'm not big on keeping up with styles. You know, I like to wear what feels good. You know, and my suits are just the same suits I've wore since I wore suits. You know, if it ain't broke, why are we trying to fix it? But we've got a generation in the church, and especially in our younger generation, they want to wear these tight suits. I'm like, God, buddy. And I know that's what they're selling in the store. I went to the store. I was traveling somewhere one day, and I forgot my suit. I had to preach. I was out of state. And I'm like, man, I can't believe I didn't pack a suit. So I just ran down to Belk or Jason Penn or wherever it was, and I said, I need a suit. What size do you need? I told him what size I needed. What size I wore. I figured, you know, it's what size you put on. If you wear a size 11, you put on a size 11, they're supposed to fit. I don't use dressing rooms. I do now. Because I got back to the hotel room, I'm almost late for church, and I put this suit on, like, something Wong. It's a good Korean lady said, something Betty Wong heel. Those pants were so tight, I was singing soprano. I was afraid if I bend over to pray, it's going to not be a good day for those behind me. I know they said these things were stretchy. I just don't think that they're that stretchy, you know? And so I called the preacher. I was like, I'm going to be a few minutes late. Ran back to the store. I said, ma'am, this is labeled wrong. This is a small. I need extra large. You see, I need... It says 48, but it ain't no 48. No, I bet if you took a measuring tape, that's more like a 32 in that chest, not a 48. And she said, no, that's the right size. That's just how they're made today. I said, ma'am, give me a 62. Let me try on a bigger size, you know. You're hurting my pride here, but let's just get some clothes on, you know. But they said it's metrosexual. That's what this new style that they're wanting to wear is metrosexual. These real tight pants. I even got where they, you know, you said, Pastor, you ought not pick on people. I'm just talking about a spirit I don't want to see get in our church. We ought not be caught up on what the latest fashion is. We ought not be caught up on just how we look and how I want to look better than everybody else. Come on. Yeah, man, I want to look good, but I don't want to look stupid. Just because Justin Bieber wears it don't mean I want to wear it. There was this fad going around a couple years ago. Everybody's wearing glasses. I was like, my God, we got a pandemic. Everybody's going blind. I mean, every young person that never wore glasses had glasses on, these big old whopping glasses. And I'm like, what are you doing? Y'all remember that? Remember that, Caden? I'm like, and I felt like an idiot asking always, where's these glasses coming from? They're like, Dad, they're fake. I mean, do what? Yeah, they just looks cool. You mean that's just a piece of plastic? I mean, you ain't got to wear it. You mean we bought those because you want to, well, because some pop star wore it and everybody thought it looked cool. So now they were just selling fake glasses and people were wearing fake glasses around. I thought, that's stupid. I mean, come on now. That's like carrying a fake gun. What's the point? No. Well, it makes me look smart, honey. You need more help than that. I hope you understand. I'm not picking on anybody, but there's a spirit. Now, I love to look nice. I want the girls to look pretty and feel pretty. I love dainty jewels and all these nice clothes, and I spend a lot of money on clothes. My wife says, you don't buy me jewelry, and that's all right, but honey, don't you skimp on my clothes. If I want to buy something, you let me buy it. I said, okay. And you know what? After I went to get my watch fixed at the jewelry store one time, and I looked at what they were paying for stuff, I'm like, honey, you want a new dress? Do you need a purse? I could. Good God Almighty. They're in there getting a second mortgage to buy a ring. And that's not a joke. And so I'm just talking about, we don't need a spirit of this, I'm better than you. And just because, you know, you don't dress. No, we don't need that in the church. We love everybody. We're going to be kind to everybody. Come on. And be gentle and love them. Somebody say amen. All right, let's talk about these chihuahuas. I had one time. That's right. And God help you. Now, listen, if I call out your dog, don't get offended, okay? I am not picking on your dog. I know your dog's not like all the other chihuahuas because it's a Holy Ghost chihuahua. I'm just talking in general terms here. I don't want somebody, you know, doing a lynch mob because I can't believe he talked about Chica that way. Chica's a sweetheart. She's only bit 27 people. I had a dog named Chica. It was half Chihuahua, half miniature Doberman, and full stupid. It was that dog. You know what these Chihuahua dogs, and I'm going to talk about what they do. You know what they do? They have the little man syndrome. They think they're a Dobie, but they're a Dopey. You know, they think they're some big macho dog. And so, you know, we used to have that dog, and somebody would knock on our door, and that dog went crazy. It was salivating. He's at the door. I mean, hitting the door. I mean, it's like going to kill somebody. As soon as the door opened, they'd walk in and said, Pastor, your couch is growling. Because that dog would be up under the couch. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of Chihuahua spirits in the church where people have this. They talk the talk. But they don't walk the walk. They talk big. But just as soon as they leave church and they get around those old friends, they don't keep their standard up. Huh? They get around church folks and like, yeah, I love church. And pastor's hard. I don't understand, but I'll back him up. He's my pastor. You know what I get scared of? And I don't. If you want to give me something, that's fine. But I get scared of people when they start giving me stuff all the time. A bunch of compliments. Man, pastor, you're my pastor. I got your back. And man, I'm going to, and I'm just talking over the top. Now, don't, if you want to do that, please do it. I like it, okay? Don't get me wrong. But when they get over the top, I'm like, okay. Is this a Chihuahua dog? Because just as soon as I ain't around, I wonder what they're doing. Just as soon as I ain't around, I wonder what they're saying. Are you with me? We don't need this double-minded standard in the church. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in what? All his ways. A double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Well, I just do it this way here. No. If you're double-minded, the Bible says you're unstable in everything you do. If they're double-minded and they one way this way and they one way, they put a front on when they come to church just to get what they want, but then they go home, they do something else and act some other way. Let me tell you something. They'll be unstable in everything they touch. You with me? They're just these Chihuahua dogs. That's what they are. They all bark. And I know some of them bite, but it is ankle biters. Come on. What they going to do? Drop kick that thing. I felt so sorry for Sister Annette's dog. What was that dog's name? Peanut? I was so mean to that dog. Not mean. Let me get me a phrase. I can't believe I'm calling Peta. I'd go to her house, and that dog just didn't like me. I'd look at that dog and... I look away and it calmed down. I look back at it. Just chill, man. You got social problems. You need some Ritalin or something. slit some stuff in that food for that dog. No. But I remember one time, you know, y'all know my brother John. Is he here this morning? He's in the deaf service. Okay, good. I can talk about him. He can't hear me. That ain't right. He couldn't hear you if he was in here. No. I can say it because he's my brother. Okay? Back off, you chihuahua dog. You poodle. No. And one time we was at a softball. Remember that time we was at Bethel Park playing softball? And Sister Becca was playing first base. I don't know why she won't play first base, but you weren't going to tell her she couldn't. I pray for you, Justin, all the time. Well, that's because you're stubborn, too. You did. We're praying for that. But I remember John hit that ball, and I don't know why Annette brought that devil dog. But she loved that dog. They even painted its nails. Somebody did. Who painted that dog's nails? Maybe it was King Jr. But John, in all his 200 none of your business glory, is running toward first base. He ain't got brakes, you know. And Becca's sitting there waiting for the ball, and that dog thought John was going to attack Becca. And all of a sudden, we heard the devil dog. And it went after my brother. What did John do? Remember what John did? He picked that dog up and drop kicked it. You stupid dog! Boom! I'm like, touchdown! It didn't hurt that dog. That dog was too stubborn. He said, Billy, that dog bit me! I'm gonna call police! Man, I don't know what they put in my coffee this morning. But I hope they do it again next Sunday. No. I thought that was just honey. No, I'm talking. Somebody say hallelujah. We don't need that little man syndrome where you feel like you got to prove something all the time. We've had those people come to church. We've had that thing. And I know you feel insecure. We all deal with insecurities. But, you know, suck it up, buttercup. And if all you were asked to do was clean the floors, then clean the floors. So what? You didn't get asked to play the drums. Maybe you'll get asked next time. Don't get mad because you're not being used the way you think you ought to be used. Don't be like the little man in David's army. You with me? When David wanted a report back from the army, the general asked for this one dude to come up. Yes, sir, I'll give the report to the officer. And this other one coming up said, I'm faster than him. Why don't you pick me? I'm faster than him. I've already picked him. Chill. So he sends the dude on, and the one that was faster, he said, I'll show them. He had the chihuahua spirit on him. And he took off running, and about, I don't know how far it was, he passed up the guy that had the message. And at the city, the one of the guards on the wall said, King David, there is a runner coming with a message. Open the gates, let him in. The guy comes running in. They shut the gates. He said, "What? Well, what do you got to tell me? I don't know. This really happened in the Bible." He's like, I just want to prove I'm good enough. Please step aside. David, there's another runner. This guy's 5 minutes late. He's not faster. He runs in, open the gate. Wait, the general says, thank you. You see, the one that ran faster looked like a fool because he didn't have the message. It wasn't his time. If you get a chihuahua spirit where you feel like you got to prove that you're good enough and that you're better than somebody else in leadership and that you're better than what somebody, I'm going to tell you something, that's the wrong spirit. We don't need that in the church. We need people that are willing to help and say, you know what, God's using you right now and I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. Come on. I've been a part of churches or people like that, that you feel like, man, everybody's just trying to tear you up. Galatians 5:15 says, be careful at biting one another, lest you be consumed one another, and the devil don't have to do nothing because you destroy yourself from within. That's what I'm talking about. Beware of dogs that get in the church, a spirit that gets in the church, that just eats away on the inside. You with me? Well, I'm going to show pastor. He should have put me in charge. You know, here's the thing. Be careful. Sometimes there are people that maybe have the talent, but I'm not looking for talent. God's not looking for talent. God's looking for the right attitude. There's a big difference. I've seen people with great talent that stink because they got the wrong attitude. But I've seen people with less talent that I love to hear and love to watch what they're doing because they had the right attitude. Are you with me? Whew. I love seeing these kids come here sing. Half of them ain't there. One of them singing Amazing Grace, one singing Jesus, I Love You, and one singing If You Cannot Ashamed, Praise the Lord. They don't care. But it's the right spirit.
Well, if I was in charge, things would be better.
Well, we shall see. I think it was Abraham Lincoln said, you want to know a man's true character? Give him power. Give him power. Put him in a position of authority, and you'll see his true character. All right. What about these mutts? Huh? I know. I got a mutt. Her name's a Duchess. Duchess just won't die. I mean, that dog is ancient. She's been with us longer than some of y'all been in church. You know? I mean, she's just an old mutt. You know, we ain't took her to the vet in 14 years. Don't tell nobody, okay? Pastor's breaking the law. You're supposed to give that dog a shot once a year. Look, you go pay for that stuff. I got 7 kids. What if that dog gets bit by a raccoon? It only cost a nickel for a .22 bullet. Boy, it got cold. Well, you take the dog to the vet and you pay for that putting to sleep stuff. Uh-huh. Man, I'm in the wrong business. But she's a good dog. I'm not picking on these dogs. I'm just talking about a spirit. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We're not to be mixed together with unbelievers. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. You have to learn to draw a line with certain people. I can hang out with them to a certain extent, but if, you know, I can't be mixed in with this. I don't need to. There's certain people that you need to realize that once you're with them, and I'm going to tell you the truth, sometimes it's family. A lot of times it's family. You've got to do it in small doses so you don't kill somebody. Can I get a witness? So you got to beware of this mutt spirit. And when there are people coming to church and they're like, well, you know, pastor's just old-fashioned and, you know, we can do this or we can go there and we can hang out. You better be careful with that. Come on. Amen. Because some of you come from things in this world you don't need to play with anymore. And there's things that you come from, you don't need to hang out with those people that are doing that anymore. Come on, you don't need that temptation in your life. You don't need that pull in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you got to beware of the mutt. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, I'm moving on. What about bloodhounds? I like a bloodhound. I think they're cool. You said it. They don't do nothing. They lay on the porch. I mean, they're so lazy. I've seen old hounds like that, that you got to put the food in front of them. They're like, could you move it a little closer? I've watched one literally eat laying down. I haven't seen a dog do that before. Could you feed me? Until they smell blood. That's right. Then they're like, and they're off the porch, their jaws are going, and they're chasing. You see where I'm going with this? There's a lot of bloodhound spirits getting in the church with people that lay around and just want to be fed. They don't want to lift a hand to do anything else. We have a dinner. Well, somebody else will clean it. I'm going home. Boy, it's getting quiet. Well, we have a function and there's things to do and the grass needs cut. Well, pastor will cut the grass. And I'm not complaining. I love cutting grass. I'm going to be honest with you. I love cutting grass. It's like instant gratification for me, and I don't get that a lot. Pastoring, I'm like, I may never get it to eternity. I don't know if I'm helping nobody or not, you know? And so cutting grass is something nice. I can pray and cut grass, look back, and wow, look at that. It's so pretty, you know? But, you know, there's a bloodhound spirit that gets in the people in the church. I don't know why. And they just get lazy until they smell blood. Somebody else is having a bad time and someone else is struggling in church. And like, Pastor, we just need to pray for so-and-so. And because I'm not gossiping. I'm just saying we need to pray for them. And I don't like that bloodhound spirit. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, just God lets me know what's going on in the church. I don't need your help. Now I got real quiet. Well, I just think that if you listen to me, I know more. I'm not an idiot. Okay? Unfortunately, God keeps me up many nights and tells me what's going on. And if he doesn't tell me what's going on, then I don't need to know it. We're all human. People have bad days. People lose their temper. People forget to do things sometimes. Sometimes they're not the best in certain areas. But there's always situations going on that you don't know and I don't know. And what bugs me the most is sometimes those same people, if they don't get their way, they're just like a bloodhound on the porch. I'm just waiting for some blood so I can complain. I'm going to wait until I see something I don't like and I'm going, Come on. We don't need bloodhound spirit in church. Amen. Get off the porch and get out and help somebody. Go out and win a soul. Go out and invite somebody to church. Go out and teach a Bible study. Go out and get involved in some ministry. There's enough things around this church to do. You shouldn't be sitting around doing nothing. Somebody say amen. Amen. I just brought the Hope Corps trailer back and disaster relief, and we're unit 009. I tried to get 007, but we got 009. We're better than 007. And we're 009 unit, and praise the Lord. And so we got a big trailer out there that they donated to our church. It's in our church's name. And we're gonna go out and help. If there's a disaster, we're going to pull up. What are we going to do? I don't know. We're going to do something. For you proper people, that's something. Okay? But something. We're going to do something. Church of Mississippi, they had a tornado come through their town, and they're unit number 005, and he said, we didn't have any supplies, but the government came in with all kinds of relief for the people. He said, but all these workers were down there, but nobody had power, so all the restaurants were closed, everything goes. He said, so what we did, we pulled the trailer out there, put us an awning on the side of the trailer, pulled out a bunch of grills, and emptied our refrigerators and brought chicken and deer meat and whatever else we could get a hold of, and we started cooking and just set up a line. Hey, we fed all the workers, all the first responders, all the people in the downtown. We just fed them. We know what they were doing. They wasn't being a bloodhound sitting around. Well, what's the church doing for these people? They were doing something. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be a fault finder. We don't need a fault finder spirit in the church. It doesn't take a genius to be a fault finder. Let me just tell you. If you're a fault finder, that's nothing special about you. It just means you're not doing enough for God if all you're doing is finding faults. I know we get too loud sometimes, okay? We're loud people. All right, I know. But it's going to get loud in heaven too. At least there you won't hurt so bad. I turn it down, turn it up, turn it down. I'm half deaf half the time anyways. My wife said, I don't understand it. She'll be on the other side of the house talking to me. I'm like, are you serious? I can't understand what you're saying. There's 3 rooms, 7 kids, 2 dogs, 3 dogs, 2 cats, and between us. And you're talking to me? Are you hard of hearing? I don't know if I'm hard of hearing or if it's just, I don't know. Maybe I am. I'm kind of thinking there's a lot of stuff between you and I. You want to talk to me? Come talk to me. I mean, I'm sitting down with a cup of coffee. She's on the other side of the house talking to me. I'm like, really? So I got to get up from my cup of coffee, walk to the other side of the house, and say, what'd you say? Well, I just told you. If you want to talk to me, you come to me. No, I'm just, that was free. That was me venting. Don't you tell my wife that. It's just recorded. I love you, baby. There's nobody like you in all the world. I sent her a picture the other day. It showed a big old dump truck dumping millions of pennies into the road. And I said, if I had a penny for every time I thought you were sexy. I can't believe Pastor said that. That's me
Hallelujah.
All right, let's talk about these wolf dogs. All right, several years ago, you know what I forgot to do? What time is it? Okay, I'm good. I forgot to get... my stomach was telling me it was 1 o'clock. So, but several years ago, I was working in Marion, and this guy came to our work, and he had wolf puppies. Like, they're supposed to be crossbred with, like, Siberian huskies. And I didn't know the laws and, you know, what to do with these crossbreeds or hybrids. They call them hybrids. And, you know, it's... But the one he gave me had been crossbred, but it was like a 90% wolf, like between the crossbred, mostly wolf. That's illegal. Well, I didn't know that. And I found out why. Talk about the prettiest dog. It was pretty, but it wasn't a dog. Wolves are not dogs. They look like dogs, but they're not dogs. And so it's a different DNA, totally different structure, different build. Their bite is like the strong. You take the strongest dog bite, like a German Shepherd. I think it was one of the strongest ones. And Rottweiler has a real strong bite. It's like 10 times stronger than any dog's bite. And I've watched my wife's little dog crush bones. They said a wolf can bite your femur and crush it right in half. Just poof, right in half. And I took this. He said, "You want this wolf puppy?" I'm like, "It's so cute. Yeah." Maybe you're not that one. There's at least one in every couple. You know, there's one that, you know, takes everything home. That's me. I bring home the strays. Dogs and people. And I brought it home, and we named it Wolfie. Hey, Wolfie! And, it, you know, I just thought it was nervous in the truck, you know, because it wouldn't let me pet it. It was kind of laying back, you know. We got it to the house. He got a pup. You know, it's a puppy. Puppies are supposed to be happy. Puppies are supposed to be, you know, bouncing, jumping on you, licking you and stuff. And we'd go to pet it, and he'd crawl in the corner and go. Here, puppy. Like, whoa. Clicking those teeth together pretty hard. I'm like, huh. I took a broom, and I shoved that thing back in the cage. Put that thing in my truck, took it back to work next day, called that guy, said, "Hey, look, I don't want this dog or this wolfie." Because I went online the night before, that when I got home, I looked it up, and this wolf dog, now it's considered a dog because it's a crossbred hybrid, but this wolf dog, that they can turn on you. Because wolves, unlike dogs, are different in their hierarchy. A dog, in essence, once a dog knows you're the master for life. How many's heard dogs never forget? It's true. That dog will never forget that you loved it, that you fed it, that you took care of it, and that dog will love you for the rest of its life. You are the boss. Now, that dog may bark at you and stuff, but typically that dog will never, it's not going to turn on you. Now, there are some that have the blood of wild in them, and there's some dogs, different ones, that when they're bred or treated wrong, they will turn on you. But a wolf dog, they are not bred that way. That's not how they are pack animals. And so the way they survive is the strongest one has to lead them. So the first article I pulled up was some lady who had 10 of these wolf hybrids in Ohio. She had had them for like 15 years. She had a whole backyard fenced in with them. She loved on these dogs. They were her pets. And, oh, they were beautiful pictures, these gorgeous animals. But one day, nobody could get a hold of her. She had cameras up, and finally someone went there, and she was out, and her body was on top of a little hill in the backyard, and there sat one of those wolves on top of her, howling. Ooh. He was now the alpha. She had been the alpha for 15 years. When they looked back over it, she had got the flu, and she went out to feed them that day, and she was sick, and they detected it. They detected her weakness, and they attacked her and said, "I'm going to be the alpha now because it's weak." I'm going to tell you, there's a dangerous spirit that gets in a lot of churches. Just as soon as the pastor or one of the leaders has a weakness, people jump on it. The wolf spirit. You with me? See, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just a man. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. He said, "Forgive me, for I am just a man. I am a man of God. I have taken the responsibility of leading the church and being a man of God, doing the work of God. But at the end of the day, I'm just a man. There are going to be times I'm going to be sick. Not only physically, but I'm going to be sick and tired. Anybody know the difference? I'm going to be fed up with certain attitudes. And, well, I just don't like the way Pastor came across in that message. He offended me. And I'm going to, you know what? That's going to happen. And you're going to see weaknesses. But we don't need a wolf spirit that every time they see a weakness, they want to jump on it. Every time they see a weakness in their person on the other side of the pew, they want to jump on their weakness. Come on. We don't need that wolf spirit in the church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm getting ready to close. Diana, get ready to come. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And so we need to be careful. We don't need to attack one another. We don't need to lash out at each other. We need to beware of dogs. The Bible says beware of dogs. It also says in Isaiah, beware of dogs. It says in the way I read to you in the New Testament, beware of dogs. In Isaiah, it says beware of dogs. And it's referring to those. Matthew 7 says, beware of them that come in wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware wolves in sheep's clothing. So they come in and they're wolves. And they just are looking for your weakness. They're looking to tear you down. And you know what? There will be people come to church with that spirit. Not that they can't get rid of that spirit. And I have seen it get on some of us. Come on. Judgmental spirit, bitterness and aggravation. And especially because when there are people in leadership, we're living glass houses. I mean, every time we pass gas, people know. And that's okay. I'm saying, I realize that. But I've seen preacher's kids destroyed because they get elevated on some kind of pedestal. And just as soon as they make a small mistake, the church, this hasn't happened here, but I don't want it to happen. And the church crucifies the preacher's kid. Your daddy's a preacher. Your dad's a youth leader. What you're doing? And while their kid is nothing but a whore harlot of Babylon. They're a devil incarnate. But much more is required. Come on. Get that wolf spirit out of you. You know what that is? That's a critical spirit. And a critical spirit is dangerous. Well, I just love to get constructive. You won't find that in the Bible. Constructive criticism. You know, there's people that give me criticism sometimes. I avoid them because I criticize myself enough. I don't need anybody's help. And I got a pastor if I need someone to straighten me out. Let me say this. Sheep don't shear sheep. The shepherd does the shearing. Don't you come to this church thinking you're going to fix other people in the church. Fix yourself and be an example. Encourage them. Help them. Don't try to make them. Well, I'm going to tell you something. And I will say this. Some of you have come to me and said, can I go and say something to this individual? I have a burden for them. And I appreciate that. And there's been times I've said yes, and there's been times I've said no. But you've gone through the proper channels. You said, Pastor, can I speak to this person? Can I talk to them? Can I tell them how I feel? I've got to. And I appreciate that because you have the right spirit. You're not trying to destroy them. You want to help them in the fear of the Lord. I have one more dog I want to talk about. I'm done. That's a sheepdog. The one dog we need in the church is a sheepdog. My wife's grandfather raises Great Pyrenees. Anybody know what those are? They were bred in Switzerland specifically. Pyrenees Mountains, specifically for sheep. Why? Because they look like sheep. And the way they actually bred these dogs was they would take them at birth and they would put them in the sheepfold at birth. And those dogs would latch on to a ewe with the baby lambs and would drink milk right from the sheep. And these Pyrenees would grow up with these other lambs and they would play together and roll together and laugh together. You know, they were a sheep. So in essence, this Pyrenees is a sheep. It's the whole idea. And when literally there were even some that when they would shear the sheep, they would shear the Pyrenees. He would get in line just with the rest of them. Because he was a sheep. But when the wolves came along and when the lions came along, and these others that didn't have the defense mechanisms as they did, all of a sudden there came a sheep out there with teeth. Not all these sheep don't have teeth. Not all. We need people that have said, this is my church. That's my pastor. Don't you talk about my church. We're not perfect. We are far from it, but we're doing the best we can to try our best. That's my church. We need ship dogs. I know we're living, and this is, I don't mean to get political, but it's just the way it is. We're living this day and age where they want to take our guns and want to take our ability to protect ourselves. And not only, forget the Second Amendment, that's against the Bible. What? It's against the Bible? When Jesus was training his disciples, I said, when Jesus was training, now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus even said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. He doesn't mean for us to live by weapons. Shouldn't become our livelihood, that this is the way we live, that this is the way everything we do is just that we're just ready to kill somebody. We're ready to shoot somebody. That's not what it's talking about. But there should be a sense of protection that comes on us, that I'm going to protect that which God has given me. He that doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. I had a guy, he said, came to me a few weeks ago, months ago, he said, at the gym downtown, he said, preacher, do you have guns? I said, what is it any of your business what I have? Well, do you have them? I said, I'm going to ask you again, what is it your business? Well, I just don't think you should have any guns. That's your opinion. I didn't know who this guy was. I won't tell him what I had. I've got guns. But it's this new age. Well, we just got to, you know, just be pacifists and we just got to give in to everything. That's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. And I'm going to show you scripturally why it's not. In Luke, after the Lord had trained his disciples, he was teaching them. Luke chapter 22. Well, look, let me pull it up here. Somebody asked me, if you had to shoot somebody, could you? I said, I hope I never have to answer that question. And I think for a person to be put in a position to answer that question is stupid and prideful. Because if you're asking me if someone was physically harming my family, what I would do, I hate to think what I'd do. Come on. I mean, you could take your yellow-backed, cowardly, pacifist self and go somewhere else to church. I want to be a church that talks about real issues. That's why I talk about things I talk about. That's why I talk about our boys should be treated like men and learn to be men. And our ladies ought to be ladies and learn to be strong women and strong ladies of God. Amen. And they ought to know that what God made them is what God made them and take pride in who they are. But Luke 22, and I know I'm just teaching this morning. I'm not looking for a response. I'm just teaching today. Beware of some spirits that we don't want in the church. And when they come, we're not fighting them, we're fighting the spirits. Not that they can't change. Anybody can change if they're willing to change. And when you get a bad spirit, I have been patient with you people. You know that. I haven't crucified you even though I felt like it. But I just know it wasn't you. It was a spirit that was fighting you. And I would go home and pray for that spirit. I would pray against that spirit because I wanted you back, not the spirit back. I wanted you back. You with me? Luke 22 in verse number 36. Let's go to verse number 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? He said, now this is the Lord talking to disciples. He said, when I sent you out without money, purse, without scrip, without notes to preach with, did you lack anything? Didn't I take care of you? And shoes, you didn't have shoes. And they said, nothing. We lack nothing. God. He said, now, he said to them, now, he that hath purse, let him take it. And likewise, he that has scrip, you got the word now. We got money now. He said, I'm going to provide you with money. I'm going to provide you with the word. And he that hath no sword, Let him sell his garment and buy one. This is God talking to his disciples. He said, now I'm sending you out. We like to read Matthew on the Great Commission, but we skip over Luke on the Great Commission. But on the Great Commission, Luke, he said, I'm going to provide you with funds for the ministry. I want to provide you with the word for the ministry. And if you don't have a sword, then sell your clothes and get one. That's what God said. He wanted his disciples to have the word, to have money, and to have a weapon. Well, that kind of blew my mind. Why would he do that? Because they were going in places and traveling places. It's not that he wanted them to have to live by this. He didn't want them to live by it. He told Peter, I don't want you to live by this. But if you have this on your side and you're marching through a valley and those marauders are hiding in the hill, they're going to skip over you and go find someone that don't have a sword. The Lord knew if he put a sword on them, even to the point, if you got to sell your garment, get you a sword. So if you want to know my position on it, there it is right there. I have no problem. Now, if you carry a gun, carry it legally, and don't tell me. I don't want to know. Are you with me? You do it legally and you do your thing. If you don't want to carry a gun, don't carry a gun. But I'm telling you, every society where they took away their guns, it never ended well. When they took away their weapons. And it happened in the Bible. When the Philistines took over the children of Israel, the first thing they did is they made them give up all their weapons and they killed all their blacksmiths. They killed all their blacksmiths. Until a young man rose up and said, it's time to pound these plows into spears. It's time to pound these plowshares into swords because we're going to battle. And a bunch of men stood up with pickaxes and plows and whatever they could make into weapons and told the enemy, no, we're going to take care of our family. We're going to protect what God's given us. And we're going to stand for what's right. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know what kind of song you sing after that one. Praise God. Beware of dogs. Who let the... No. Don't you dare. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise God. How many glad you came to Sunday school this morning? Praise God. Why don't we lift our hands to God? Lord, I want to have a right spirit. I want to have a right attitude. I want to grow in you. I want my family to grow in you. I want to follow you in all your ways. God, I praise you.